You have your Bibles, will turn with me tonight to the book of St. Matthew's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Begin reading with the 21st verse. Believe in God to touch and minister to us tonight. One of the greatest needs in the church world is for people to get back to the place they worship God. My wife has an uncle, had an uncle, Clyde Helms. He was a pastor for many years at the Church of God in Alabama, like 40-something, I think. Probably if you look through the annals of the prophets of the Church of God, you would not find his name written anywhere. He pastored different places, year or two at a time, sometimes 3 or 4 years, this place or another, but he started a church in Phoenix City where we didn't have a church, and we have 2 churches in Phoenix City now. Started a church at a place called Enterprise, Alabama. They just celebrated their 75th anniversary. He started a church in Mobile. It was called Oak Park or something like that. Not Oak Park. It was some Oak Mount or something like that, but it's now called Forest Hills. So even though you might not see his name somewhere, he accomplished a lot for the kingdom of God. And I never forget, he was 80-something years old, came to revival at Lipscomb one night, and he lived on the old campgrounds. He came down to revival at Lipscomb, and he said, "Yeah, I remember when I was 16 years old, I'd run back there and run up a tent, slap the top of the tent, run back down, shout." He said, "I can't do that no more, but I can walk back there and look up that pole." Glory. Point being, I can do whatever I can do. You know, and I like what one young man said the other day. He said, "I remember when we used to run the pews. We don't try that anymore. It's dangerous." Amen. But we need worship. Listen to what the Bible tells us. "And then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, for my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered, said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thy will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house. Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost, move on us and minister to us, Father, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, and say, we're going to get through this. I remember going to Colorado to preach the first time. I was in western Colorado in the mountains, and I was like 6,000 something feet above sea level. I don't know if y'all understand how it affects you, but you just don't breathe good up there. The air is real thin. And I'd been there since Thursday thinking I'd get used to the air. And on Sunday morning, I was preaching. I started getting a little wobbly. And this guy said, drink water. I said, dude, I need air. I don't need water. Turned out they knew what they were talking about. When I drank the water, I started feeling better because somehow I took in air while I was taking down the water. But truth of the matter is, tonight I'm going to need the water. So if y'all see me stop every once in a while, it'll be okay. Amen. Worship is important to God. Therefore, it should be important to us. One of life's greatest questions is, what is my main purpose in life? Why am I here? Solomon, who is considered to be the wisest man that ever lived, wrote about it in Ecclesiastes 2 and 10. He said, "And whatsoever mine eyes desire, I kept not from them. For I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. And then I looked at it all, the works that my hands had wrought. and the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, was all vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit in it at all. You know what he said? He said, I've got more. Let's face it, church. This guy was richer than anybody we've ever known. He'd make our billionaires today look like paupers. I mean, let's face it, if you walked in his throne room, his banquet room, he spent millions of dollars just making them. Wouldn't y'all like how the curtains of his banquet room, they were 40-something feet long, and they were strands of gold and silver woven together to make a tapestry. I'd just like to have a couple of curtains. He had chairs and tables, and the tables would seat 1,000 men each. They were made out of solid gold. I wouldn't mind having a chair. Golden lines at the end of each table. This guy was extravagant in his living. Yet he turned around and he said, and everything I got's worth nothing, because the one thing I need to understand is I need to worship God. And you said, no, wait a minute, preacher. Can you prove that? Listen to what he said, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, in that word fear, he uses a Hebrew word, which is simply yara, which means to fear, to revere, to be afraid, to stand in awe, to reverence, to honor, to respect. You know what he's basically saying? He said, my whole reason for being here is to do the commandments of God and to worship him, to revere him, to lift him up, to hold him up to a high standard, to magnify him for who he is. And we need to understand, if that be the case, then we need to understand that's where we need to be. Amen. Listen, Jesus even tells us in John 4:23, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Greek word used here to seek is the word zedot, which simply means to desire, to demand. Amen. He's telling us that our reason for coming to church is not to leave with something else. We have messed it up. You ask somebody why they came to get my needs met. You came for the wrong reason. You don't come to get a need met. You don't come to do anything but to worship him. David said, I am glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? Because I'm going to worship the Lord my God. I'm going to lift him up. How am I going to do it? From the rising of the sun to the going there down thereof. Let the name of the Lord be praised. So praise is important. Could you say amen? Worship is an experience in the reality of the presence of God. D.L. Moody said it this way in a book called The Integrity Crisis. If you've never read it, you need to. He said, true biblical worship so satisfies our total personality that we don't have to shop around for man-made substitutes. Hello? Point one, worship aids us in experiencing the reality of the presence of God. This woman come to Jesus to present a request. When it appeared not to be answered, the Bible says she came and worshiped him. This lady came and she said, Lord, help me. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. The Bible said he answered her not a word. Well, she kept yelling, and the disciples actually said, Lord, send her away. She's causing a problem. I've been in churches like that. Well, if you said amen, you caused a problem, because it really messed people up. You know what messes them up most? They know they're supposed to be doing it, and you're the only one doing it. It makes them feel bad because they won't do it with you. Glory. Hang with me. We know that God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at all times. But we do not always experience the presence of God until we get to that place we get into his presence with worship. The Bible said God dwells in the praise of his people. Sometimes God's there, but we don't realize he's there. Hello? Well, by faith, I believe he's there. How about just worship him and feel him when he gets there? Come on, church. Amen. I've been to churches where they told me the Spirit of the Lord was there, and I never felt nothing. Just they told me, they warned me. Glory. Hello? Smile. They wasn't non-denominational. They were Church of God churches, and I don't know if God's been around there in a long time. Amen. I actually told one pastor, said, my daddy told me if I found something dead to bury it, and if I had a shovel big enough, I'd bury your building because it's dead. Glory. I was there to run a revival, and I done figured out this wasn't going far. Hello? Amen. But worship helps us experience the reality of God. Mark 7:25, she came and fell down at his feet. Notice, when she began to worship him, she moved into his presence. She's not standing afar off yelling for help. She's at his feet now because she's worshiped and got into his presence. And now she is in the presence of God. Amen. One thing that we must understand, that true worship is an encounter with a holy God. We know that God is omnipresent. Simply mean God's everywhere. The psalmist David realized this when he wrote in Psalms 139:7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? For if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take up the wings of the morning and I fly to the uttermost part of the sea, thy right hand will guide me and thy left hand will bear me up. David said, God, there's nowhere I can go. You're not there. But I also understand that if I'm going to feel your presence, I've got to worship you. Could you say amen? I need to experience his presence for that to happen. I've got to worship him. When we begin to praise and worship the Lord, the Holy Spirit begins to work in our hearts and become more aware of the presence of God. Amen. It is the Spirit of God that makes us aware that God is there. And it is through worship that we begin to experience the presence of God. If we truly want to sense the presence of God in a place, we need to begin to truly worship him. Now he is there. First, he's omnipresent. Second, Jesus promised that two or three are gathered together, I will be in their midst. For us to experience the reality of the presence of God, we need to worship him. But if we draw close to him through true worship, amen. You say, preacher, prove it. Psalms 22:3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of your people. Amen. My Bible said, God, Jesus said this, said, if I be lifted up, I then will draw all men nigh unto me. One of the benefits of worship is I get into a very intimate presence of God. When I begin to worship God, I get into an intimate relationship with him. When I begin to praise God, he begins to open up the heavens and do things for me that he might not do for others. Come on, church. Guys, does your wife get you to do something by demanding it? Huh? My wife said, you better get in there and do something. That's the last thing I'm going to do. I stick my feet in the mud. I ain't doing it. You say, what's this got to do with your sermon? We were created in the image of the living God. We're like him. You let us talk about, you a great provider. You a good daddy. Oh, you a wonderful husband. I go get else stuff. I'm fixing to do something. I don't know what it is, but I'm doing something. Hello? I got a couple of you going, ain't gonna happen with me. You do a lot of stuff your wife wants you to do because she's figured out how to work you. You might as well wake up and realize, guys, you've been in training ever since the day you said, I will. Glory. Amen. Look, worship gets us into the presence of God. This woman came to it. Notice something. She's not a Jew. She's not used to temple ways of doing things. She don't know the proper way church is supposed to happen. All she knows is, I've got a daughter that's grievously vexed with the devil. I've tried every God I could think of. And let's face it, church, she was a Canaanite. Most likely she worshiped Baal. That meant she danced around on fire, cut herself, done all kind of stupid stuff like some of our kids do now, calling it smart. They pierced their eyes, their ears, their nose. Don't realize it all started over in heathen worship in Africa. Glory. Just because they're trying to find favor with somebody. I don't need nobody to accept me. I like me just like I am. You don't like me, I don't care. Glory. Because as long as me and God's on the same page. Hello? Come on, church. I used to play that game. My hair would curl in the back, so I put a permanent in it so I could keep it under control. Then I had preachers talk about men don't put permanents in their hair, so when I go preach for them, I'd straighten it out. Glory. Then one day I made up my mind, I really don't care anymore. Come on, church. As long as God's happy with me like I am, I'm happy with me like I am. Come on, that's good stuff. But this lady don't know how to worship. She don't know how to approach God. So she just runs up going, Jesus, I need you. Lord. She didn't understand. She had to lift him up before she got the knock on the door. Glory. Come on, church. She's a heathen, yet she comes to him. And let's face it, church. If you come to me and start asking me questions and I don't answer you and I act like you don't exist, you're going to get so mad. And the Bible says she's crying out to Jesus, and he answered her not a word. It was as if she didn't exist. And I know it was loud because it bothered the disciples. They said, send her away. Now, how would you like to go to church and start worshiping? And somebody walk up and say, preacher, get them out. Hello? You'd get upset. Then notice this. She finally gets his attention. She said, Lord, help me. And he said, I am not come but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're not a Jew. I got nothing for you. I came to feed the children of Israel. And it's not meat to take the children's bread and to cast it to a dog. Now it's really got personal. He's not only said, you ain't a Jew, he called her a dog. And it ain't like today when a guy walks up and says, hey, dog, how you doing? I don't know if girls do that, but I've heard guys do it. It was a derogatory term. He said, I'm not going to take the children's bread and give it to a dog. You're a dog. You're not worthy. Notice something. She just kept worshiping. She said, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Amen. Come on, church. I'm working on a sermon I used to preach years ago. I'm reworking it so I can preach it to you. It's called God's Looking for Some Dogs. Glory. Amen. Come on. I ain't going to give the sermon away, but it's good. Amen. Hadn't preached it in 15 years, but I'm going to preach it before long. Amen. Because I believe God's looking for some people that's just like this woman, that you're so hungry, you really don't care what people call you. You don't care what people think about you. All you know is he has the answer, and the way to get to him is to worship him, get in his presence, and don't worry about anybody else. It's just you and him. We're on the same plane, and we're going to receive from him, and that's what it's all about. Could you say amen? Listen, worship aids by elevating us above the realm of our problem. How many times have we drug into the house of God because we just had to be there? We're not there because we want to. Come on, church. We go through the motions because we're supposed to. Amen. But real worship will elevate us above our problems to the point we forget about our troubles and we forget about our cares, and all we're focused on is worshiping him. Amen. Listen. Years ago, I was in South Alabama preaching, and there was a lady there. Her neck was locked. It was obvious she had a problem. She could not move her head without turning her whole body. Her neck wouldn't move at all. Every night of the revival, she'd come down right toward the middle of the altar service. She'd rust up right in the middle. Everybody'd say, boy, it's time to pray. I was offended she called me boy. I don't know about y'all, but I've kind of outgrown most boys. I figure this lady called alligators lizards. And we'd get the oil we'd pray for. And on Friday night, I looked up and here she came. I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. I was busy. I was praying for people trying to get saved. Here come this lady, and I done this 4 or 5 times this week with no results because she wasn't expecting nothing. And she come walking up, and I made the mistake of turning around where she'd get my attention. She said, "Boy, it's time to pray." Well, the pastor's praying with some guys, so I just went over and started laying my hand on her. She grabbed my hand, pulled it. She said, "Hey, you got to have all to pray for me." Man, if your name was Naaman, some of you would never get nothing because you wouldn't get in that bar. You got to have it your way. This ain't Burger King, folks. Glory. I searched around. I couldn't find the oil, so I reached in my pocket. Some of y'all have noticed that little bottle I keep in my pocket in my coat. It's for nights like this. I don't have it with me because it's empty, but when I evangelized, I kept that bottle in my pocket about half full, 100% pure peppermint oil, not spirit of peppermint, 100% pure. One drop would make 4 or 5 bags of that little candy you like. We talking about stout stuff. Little pinch on the end of your tongue's all you could take. Had a singer over at Bradford one night. He was up singing. Come over and said, "Can I have some of that stuff?" And I said, "Sure." He'd been using spirit of peppermint. Wasn't that strong? So he told you, put it on the back of his tongue. He was gone. He was out there trying to drink water and everything else, but I took his breath. I told him, I said, "Son, that's the real stuff." I remember one night headed home, and I had it in a vest pocket, and the cap came off. I changed clothes on the side of the highway, and I didn't care who came by. It lit me up like fire, because it gets on open skin, it burns. And I walked over to her, and I said, "Ma'am, can I use my oil?" She said, "Just so it's oil." And I started to go, "No, maybe. The Bible said there's only one anointing oil, and of that anointing oil, there is no substitute." But I wanted to pray for it and get it over with. So I put that oil on my fingers and I laid my hand on her, and she stood there and she said, "Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa." And then she took off running. To my surprise, she was doing her head this way and this way. 2 grown men on the back row run up to the altar and got saved because they saw a miracle. Here comes the point of the message. She stood up to testify. She said, "Well, y'all know I've been going up there for months because I'm supposed to." She said, "And I never really expected God to do nothing. I just went because I was supposed to." She said, "But tonight I felt the power of God burning right where his fingers touched me." Now, I don't know if it was the oil or if God really touched her. But I had threatened several times in revival, get that bottle out, start hitting people with it just to set things off. Come on, church. All I know was she got healed. But is that not what we do sometimes? We go through the motions. Amen. We're just there because we're supposed to be. We're just there because we got to be. We're so down and out and burdened down with the things going on in our life that we don't understand that the very answer to our problems is, no matter how bad things are, if we can but worship God, God can bring us victory. Could you say amen? I see the children of Israel surrounded by the enemy. They're starving to death. They're selling donkey heads for 15 shekels of silver. I've eaten hog head cheese. I've eaten souse meat. I have in my day eat brains and eggs. I don't like them, and I didn't eat them but once. But I am not eating no donkey head anyway, shape, form, or fashion. But they were boiling them and eating them because they were so hungry. And the Bible said, Jehoshaphat inquired of the Lord, said, "Lord, what can we do? The enemy's got us cut off." And God said, "Get the army together." Jehoshaphat comes down out of the front and he calls all the generals together. And they're going, "All right, we're going to go out. We're going to die or win one way or the other. We're going out like men." And he said, "Guys, lay all your spears, your swords down." They're going, "Oh man, he's going to surrender." Then he goes against the priest, and they run out there to pray for him before they go out to get killed. He said, "Y'all get in front." They were, some of them started thinking they wasn't called. There's a lot of guys called to preach until they really got to do something. Come on, church. He turned around and he said, "Open the gates, priest, y'all lead them." Has y'all just sing the best worship songs you know? Army sing with them. They go out singing praises unto God. The enemy got so upset by what they were doing, they started killing each other and running. Amen. And victory became the Jews, not because they fought one fight or shot one arrow. Can I tell you, some of you been fighting with the devil and you're punch drunk, and it's time you put up holy hands and begin to magnify the God that's got the answer for you. And if you'll praise him, my God will give you victory. My God will bring you out. My Bible said my blessings come on the wings of my praise. Amen. Listen to this. David said, Psalms 27 and 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. Amen. David says, I want to get there. Psalm 61 and 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He said, God, I'm down here, but I want you to put me up there. What was it Habakkuk said? He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, for the labor of the olive shall fail and the field shall yield no meat, yet will I praise you, because you, God, can make my feet like hinds' feet. You can make me again to walk in the high places. And when we begin to praise him and we lift him up, he pulls us up above the problems of our life into the realm where he is. Glory. Isaiah said it, and today there will be the root of Jesse, which shall stand in the instant for the people, and it shall the Gentiles seek, and rest shall be glorious. We're going to get to that place where we understand God aids in energizing us to receive the promises of God. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Sometimes I just can't get there on my own. But if I can begin to worship him, he'll give me energy to keep moving, to keep believing, to keep holding on. Glory. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the doors moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Translation, they start worshiping God. The seraphims are doing nothing but praising him. Amen. And they begin to worship him. And what happened? The post of the door. What is the post of the door? They're the main structure that makes the church go. Let me put it in vernacular, you'll understand. They begin to worship, and the pastor's council started shouting. And the glory filled the house. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. They begin to worship, and the staff started shouting. And the glory filled the house. They began to worship, and the choir started singing louder and started worshiping and singing from their heart. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. What are you saying? When we begin to magnify God and we begin to worship him, he will energize us to hang on just a little bit longer and not give up on what God's doing in our life. And the more we worship him and the more we praise him, the more the outpouring of the Spirit comes to deliver us and set us free and give us the anointing he wants us to have in our life. Remember, worship, true worship, comes from the heart. Max Lucado said, true worship is a thank you that can't be stopped. Glory. When you just worship him because of who he is, for what he's done, for what he's going to do. Amen. Jonah is in the belly of a whale. Life ain't going good. He's down and in, not down and out. Hello? Read the story of Jonah. He went down to the shipyard, even though it was on the north side of town. He went down in the ship, though it was still on top of the water. Then he went down into the water. Then he ended up going down into the whale. And in the belly of that whale, he said, "Lord, I'm going to sacrifice a praise to you." And all of a sudden, he started going up out the river, up out the whale, and up into the city. Hello? Come on, church. The minute he began to praise God, life went from down to up. And things began to turn around. And God began to move. And when we come to that place where we're like this lady, she said, "Lord, I don't care if I am a dog. All I want is some crumbs. Because I can take crumbs and do something with it." Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Stand with me all over the house. The benefits of true worship. Worship brings us into his presence. Worship elevates us above our problems. Worship energizes us to receive from God. The Bible said, "Into my gates with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise." Magnify him. Glorify him. When the whole world's turned upside down, praise him. Job lost everything he had, but the Bible said he fell on his face and he worshiped God. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life, praise is still what touches God's heart quicker than anything else. And we need to get back to that place where worship becomes ultimate part of our life, a lifestyle. But we don't wait to sing Granny's favorite song before we lift up holy hands to magnify him. We don't wait till the preacher says something we like. We just come into church with a made up mind. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to magnify him. Glory. Father, I thank you tonight for your love, for your mercy. I ask God that you would touch this house. Minister to us, Lord, with your word touch. Move on us with your power. Father God, take us above our problems, our trials, our tribulations tonight as we worship you and we magnify you. In Jesus' holy name.